That's that unique thing, especially a book like James. It's small enough. If you read it through once every day for 30 days, you'll all of a sudden realize you've got sections of that in your mind. You also have an aerial view of the whole text, so you see where the writer is going to go. Now, if you pick a book like Romans, you might have to cut it in half if you're one of those, you know, snail readers like I am. So, anyway, are we awake?
Yeah.
Okay, that's going to play into what we're talking about this morning. So, I'll be checking on you, looking for eyeballs and eyelids. No, I'm not. I don't want to see those. You know what that means. Anyway, this series is going to be called Doing is Needed When Hearing, and you're going, okay, that's kind of different. We're continuing our study in James. Do you realize how difficult it is to listen? It requires work and discipline and at least a correct motivation to stay alert to listen. Some will say that with all the technology today that we're dealing with, that everything is moving much faster. I think it's funny. I'll send an email to somebody and they'll call me right after. Did you send the email? Yeah. Or they'll call me and go, I sent you an email. Did you reply? Can I read it first and think? You know, everything is going, but I think we try to blame technology, but this situation has been going on in our life much longer than the technology. Technology, I will agree, has exacerbated the issue. Everything that we're doing, we're thinking is like split second. Now, I agree, the technology does have its issue. But you can't blame today. It's been going along for a while. I remember an event my parents went through, and I don't think I was around then. Okay, so it's more of an event story from what I was told. Can't remember who told me, so this could be a slanted story. So as the story goes, Mom and Dad were having a conversation. Well, let's say Mom was talking to Dad, okay? As she was talking to Dad, he had a pencil and a notepad. Remember those days? You wrote things down. And he was taking notes. Now, this occurred throughout the whole discussion. Now, Mom thought that Dad was really taking serious this conversation because he was taking notes. And every once in a while, he'd have the, you remember those? Well, yeah, that kind of hit a nerve, didn't it? Unfortunately, Dad was taking notes, but it wasn't of their conversation. Dad was a basketball coach. What was he writing down? The next plays for the game. Well, let me say, needless to say, that when Mom found that out, we went from having a discussion to it turned into a small war. Was Dad listening? Did it look like it on the outside? It did. You see, on the outside, it looked like Dad was serious about the conversation. Even though there were those occasional, But Dad wasn't listening. Now, I know that I could say that that was an isolated event, but it isn't. We all do it. We do it constantly, and it's sad. When Mom wanted to make sure that I was listening, and some of you will giggle on this one, at least from an outside appearance, she would say, "Look at me when I'm talking to you." Yeah, you get that one. Other times she would say, "Look up while I'm talking." Okay, that was kind of a trigger point to look up. Again, it doesn't mean that I was listening. It just means that I was looking up. Now, I remember from time to time while ministering under Rick Holland in the high school or college ministry, he would say to the students and staff, and when he spoke in big church, he asked that we would pray that he wouldn't do this to the whole congregation, but periodically he'd say, "Look up." Why? To get their attention, to get them to stop maybe doing something. Because this is an important point that he wants to make sure they understand. So look up. And it was so hilarious. If you're sitting at the back of the ministry, everyone, heads would rise, and you kind of, I don't know what it looked, but he did not want to do that to the whole congregation at Grace Church. I agree. That would have been, we're all trained. We would have been fine with it. So what we're going to be doing for the next few weeks is understand what it means to be a true listener of God's word and what to do with the word when it's correctly listened. We will also see some side notes as to how false the lookup can be when it comes to listening to God's word. You guys are really looking up right now. I can see you. I don't want to have that statement. Today we'll cover a foundation of what James states are needed for true listening. There are three elements set for good listening that are transformative for a child of God. Seeing that this will take us time to cover the more detail of all the text, I want to just have us start together and read the whole section that we'll be driving through, but it's not all today. Don't panic. So let's turn to James 1. We'll start in verse 19 and go all the way through to 27. And it might be a little different from what you're used to in translation. I'm going to start using the Legacy Standard Bible. It's close to New American Standard, but it's kind of has a little bit of soften some of the edges on the wording. Verse 19. Know this, my beloved brothers, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, laying aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness and gentleness, receive the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But become doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he looked at himself and has gone away, he immediately forgot what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of freedom, abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man will be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks himself to be religious while not bridling his tongue, but deceiving his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Pure and undefiled religion before our God and Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained by the world. But our text today is 19 and 20. James is going to be building on a foundation to help us to understand about the word and the criticality of the word. Now, he starts off, really, and it's better to be understood that it's somewhat tied in verses 17 and 18. So they do tie together. Sometimes you'll see it broken up, but he's still flowing. And that, again, this is why when I first started working on James, I retyped the book of James without any chapters or verses, so I can read it through without any division. I just have paragraphs. That helps your mind to keep the flow going. I've found many times, just reading the scriptures, those little headers that someone, they're not inspired, I hope you understand, those little notes at the top, they're not inspired. It just breaks your thinking and you miss the flow. So it's helped to kind of keep the flow moving. So verses 17 and 18 continue to flow. Let's see how he lands where we're dealing with the word today, how the word fits. 17 and 18, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. There's your word foundation. So that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creation. So James started by showing us that we were brought forth not by man, but by the will of the Father, the word of truth. So again, the word is central to everything that the Christian exists for. This is our foundation for the Christian life, and it starts there and continues. You can't stop it at any point. It's that which produces the fruit. But how does that fruit continue? Okay, we must continue in the word of truth, and to do what we must is listen. For the word of truth is transformative of our lives, and we must start with a proper act of listening. Now, that's the hard part. And believe it or not, as we get through it, you're going to realize how much of a struggle listening can be. He wants us to know this and know it well. And he's going to break it down and keep breaking things down so we're getting the idea and fully understand. He's not coming off as some lecturer. He's not dictating and saying, do this as something cold. What you're going to see at the beginning is very simple. He says, my beloved brothers. It's a very personal thing that James is involved with. He's not looking at you as just some parishioner, but he's looking at you as a fellow believer, as a brother in Christ. He wants to carry you along and help you to grow. It's very personal. You're not going to get that from the pulpit down just to the masses, but you're going to see him amongst you, encouraging and growing you. And that's exactly what the letter continually does. He's not a businessman trying to encourage the staff to be more productive, but he's coming alongside the believers. And that takes very much a personal vent on what he's doing. So please take the letter of James in the same way. Don't look at what he's always giving us, and especially today, as something he's just cold shoving it. He's coming alongside and encouraging you to continue to grow. So the first point he brings up is quick to hear. That just doesn't roll off the tongue simply, but verse 19, but everyone must be quick to hear. Everyone? Guess what? That's all of us. This is not for the person next to you, don't look, or someone else in another church, don't think, but this is a direct finger pointed at you. It's all of us. Why? Because God has given you his word and we are to continue in it. It is for each one of us who love the Lord. There are times with scripture that we have a tendency to think it is written to someone else. It's really directed towards us to guide us, to move us, to grow us. Remember the beginning also too, James says, the reason trials come is for what? To really make you have a miserable life and suffer and be grumpy? No, it's to grow you. Again, that's the whole letter. The whole letter is to sit and to help you to grow and to mature. All right, quick to hear might be another way to say it. Be alert to every opportunity to learn from the word, whether spoken or read. In other words, you turn on your sensitivity and you hype it up to the point where listening and reading is intensified. A better way to say it is put every effort into that work to hear the word of truth and apply it deep into your life. Every effort. Let the mass energy be pushed to it. Or say it this way, make every effort to get all the word so you will be able to apply the truth to your life correctly. Notice that? Accurately listening, listening well, and understanding the word also means you're going to apply it correctly to your life. Now, through the word, we learn to know God and his will for our lives, and our lives are to be directed by the word. So you see why this is a critical point. Now, listening can be so hard. While I have been speaking, where has your mind wandered off? And how many times? Don't answer. I know. Our minds seem to always be in a hyper mode. And it takes discipline to direct that energy to a single point. And that will take continual work. I am very much aware with me. I know my wife can, she can read a book, stay reading the book, read it fast, and the world can be blowing up around her, not even aware of it. For me, one little thing goes off, and I'm, what? You know, I'm the squirrel dude, you know? It takes work. I can't shut these things off. It's so difficult if I'm reading. But When you're at church, what else is hard to shut off? Your eyes, so you can listen. I got some friends that say, I've got to sit up close to the front. Why? To reduce the distractions. I know, you're going to be hyper about distractions. You know, the hair up, the hair down, the hair up. We had a high school student, I almost wanted to on the head when we were in California. I lost count how many of the time the hair went up and down and up and down and up and down. That was the whole event. I thought, was this an exercise, you know? Stop it, you know? You're driving me nuts, you know? I read a Time article. Let me give you an idea about attention span. I'm not going to insult you. It's just hard to read. It was done back in May 14, 2015. It's a little old. I don't think it's improved. Don't worry about it. It's entitled this. You now have a shorter attention span than a goldfish. That caught my attention. I thought, what are you talking about? Me? No. In the article, a study was done comparing another study in 2000 that the attention span dropped from 12 seconds to 8 seconds. Another study showed the goldfish have an attention span of 9 seconds. We want to know the goldfish. Should I say more? Now move on. The world around us is moving so fast that you cannot even blink. Because you'll miss something. So fast. I read an article one time. I was trying to understand because commercials drive me a little bonky. The scene changes are so fast. It's like, I didn't even see what they're... And I even asked my wife. I go, what is it that they're trying to show? Because it went off the screen so fast. Well, here's what you're dealing with. A 30-second commercial has about 20 to 30 scene changes in 30 seconds. What's that mean? You get a scene about every second. What are you going to trap on? Well, what's your brain being trained to do? Next, 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 next. You can't approach the word that way, but we will start doing that if we let the world invade our thinking. You know, why did they do this? So if they stay on a scene too long, you'll get bored. So why don't people like good, intense teaching of the Word of God? And why are so many people not even able to hold up for 45 minutes for the teaching of the Word? Because they're trained up that way. Because they'll get bored. Why do you have lights and smoke and everything show going on in church? Because they'll get bored. Why? Because the Word of God is not central. It's not that important. Can this be occurring in the church? Yeah, it does. Ken Ramey, a youth pastor I worked under, wrote a book entitled Expository Listening. Great book. The back cover of the book has James 1:22. We'll get there. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. James Adams endorsed and wrote on the back cover of the book, or at least it's on the back cover. He writes, in many people's mind, if they don't get anything out of the sermon, it's the preacher's fault. But that's only half true. The Bible teaches that listeners must partner with the preacher so that the Word of God accomplishes its intended purpose for transforming their life. You got work to do, folks. Expository listening is your handbook on biblical listening. It is designed to equip you not only to understand what true biblical preaching sounds like, but also how to receive it and ultimately what to do about it. That's what James is going to be doing the next few weeks. You need to know how to look for the Word of God, to love the Word of God, to live the Word of God. In this way, God and His Word will be honored and glorified through your life. Is the Word of God critical and important for us to be alert to and be able to listen? Yes. Rick Holland also made endorsement. He says, too often, this is going to start reverberating on some of you, too often churches are evaluated solely by how pastors preach. This is a place to start, but it's not the complete test. Of equal importance is how people listen. Believe this? With books on how to preach flourishing, how to listen to sermons is an area that has gone almost unnoticed until now. Ken Ramey's Expository Listening is a guide for how to listen to and profit from faithful preaching of the Word of God. It encourages the church attendee to move from being a passive member of an audience to being an active participant in the preaching and the worship of God, making Expository Listening a truly life-changing book. I know of nothing else like it. I know. Enough for the book sales, right? But do you notice all that statement? The critical issues on the fact is we have to be listeners and know what to listen to. A lot of people say, I've heard of other pastors that have, the old tradition, the pastor goes to the back, everyone files out, shakes his hand, good sermon, pastor, all this kind of stuff. Well, I heard of a pastor one time, he stopped doing that. Why? One, because it started pumping him up with ego. But the other thing is, the fact is, if it's a good sermon, is it changing your life? Are you doing something with it? Are you taking it out the door to grow? But to be a good listener means you have to be intent on wanting to learn. How do we do the preparation? How do we get ready? That's why I asked you guys. Now you're going to know why I asked you. Are your eyes open and how you feel? Are you awake? Here's why. For us to be ready on Sunday morning and the message we will receive, we must begin earlier than Sunday morning. And you're going, I got up. That's not what I mean. A phrase to remember, preparation for Sunday begins Saturday night. Notice that? If you don't get to sleep early enough, this sounds immature, right? But no, this is basic. Enough to be fresh and ready for Sunday, then your listening will be a large battle. Have you noticed that? Now, I was an associate pastor in a church in Mississippi, and there was one month that I took over the pulpit in teaching. And the pastor I worked under kind of gave me a warning. I was like, are you kidding me? He warned me this. Said, the wives were in the front rows, kind of in front of their husbands. The husbands were in the back. And about the same time every Sunday, about the same time into the sermon, the husbands would all fall asleep. And I was a bit shocked. And I think I came up over the pulpit just a little bit, with a little bit louder, kind of, hopefully, they didn't wake them up. Don't worry about it. Why did that? These are the men that should be alert to the Word of God so they can lead their wives and be godly examples and everything, but they're falling asleep. I'm glad he warned me. I would have had, I don't know what my temperament probably would have been for. But see, that's bad listening. Kent Hughes, in his commentary on James, made a good point. We must read God's Word, and that involves more than advancing a bookmark. We can tend to do that during preaching, can't we? We feel that we've done what we're expected to do because we went to church and we heard a sermon. Let me ask you, is that moving the bookmark? It's moving a book. That's all you're doing. Why do you go to church? Maybe I'll ask a harder question. Why do you waste the time Sunday morning if you don't want to get everything out of it that you can to learn and to grow and to know Christ more? That's a hard question. I've asked myself that. Why did you go to church if you did not want to know and grow? There's other things I could do. I could probably mow the yard, right? See, these are things that we have to continue to look at. And James is pushing it right in our face. When we come to church, we must be prepared to hear the Word of God and throughout the week put it into practice. So how do you do that? You got to take notes. You got to take it with you so you go out the door. You got something with you. Or use the notes that we've got on your device that are prepared that gives you an outline in all the verses that Steve covers or any of the pastors that teach here. Why? You have to keep it and work on it. See, James is saying be quick to listen. In the Greek, it's a present active imperative, better known as we're to continually be listening on the Word of God. It's to be something that we don't put down. You keep it, you pick it up, and you keep it going. It doesn't stop. We go over it and go over it and go over it and go over it. You get the idea, right? We take it with us everywhere we go. Take a look at some of the statements about the need to keep the word with you. Psalm 119, great section, verse 2. How blessed are those who observe his testimonies. That's the word. They seek him with all their heart. Do you seek God with all your heart? To know more, to grow, to hear? Verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? Very simple. By keeping it according to your word. Verse 11. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. Treasure. Treasure the word. Keep it. Memorize it. Verse 12, blessed are you, O Yahweh. Teach me your statutes. Verse 15 and 16. I love this one. This is not a word I don't think you and I use much. I will muse upon your precepts and look upon your ways, and I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. Muse. Chew on it. Ruminate. Great words. So how do you not forget God's word? By listening to it with an open heart to learn and to take it with you. Next thing he comes up with, besides quick to hear, here's an interesting, slow to speak. I know, it makes me want to just shush right now and sit down. Verse 19, but everyone must be quick to hear and slow to speak. Now, the church culture that James is dealing with is an oral culture, and they hadn't gotten the whole of scriptures, so everything was obviously a teaching time. A little more open, a little bit more of a round table, where there was probably a little bit more dialogue, more questions coming up as they were working through it. But the problem is, if someone's not truly listening and wants to say something, the danger was the fact the individual would probably say something, interrupt, say something that wouldn't be in the context of what was being taught, or would introduce error and would cause all kinds. So James is saying, slow that speech down. Ken Hughes also brings a quote from Zeno, a Stoic philosopher. I love this one. I think I'm going to try to hold this in my head. We have two ears and one mouth. Everyone counting correct on that one? Good. Therefore, we should listen twice as much as we speak. That hurts. Let me go a bit deeper with you. This one I clearly battle as often as I lose it. When someone is speaking to you, are you preparing your return statement while they are speaking? I know, you're going to run me out the door. Then you're not listening. And you should be slow to speak. My parents would always say, engage your mind before you engage your mouth. It's not always there. Usually the mouth goes a lot faster and the brain's catching up going, you shouldn't have said that. Well, it's too late now. You're right. Engage the mind. You need to listen to be informed. So listening again comes back into play. What about during the preaching of the word? Are you evaluating the speaker and finding fault on how they are presenting the truth? Are you wondering what you're going to be doing for lunch or dinner? Are you thinking through what you need to do at home or maybe next week at work? These and many more are the actions that are not being slow to speak. Believe it or not, speaking does not always require the mouth, but that we can also be speaking in our minds. This one's a hard one. I mean, isn't it? I mean, how many times is someone talking to you and you're not listening? And you're thinking about what you're always doing. Eye contact is that big thing. That's hard. We had a marriage counseling pastor for us, and thank heavens the brother, I mean, I felt for the brother, but he was literally honest. He says, I can't look, when I'm this close to people, I can't look eye to eye. So I won't, and when we were in our one-to-one counseling, he said, I have to look away. I'm glad he said that, because I would have gone, how rude this guy is. Eye contact, my mom told me this, you know, but again, slow your speech down. Here's another one. He gives us a third point. Slow to anger. What's that got to do with listening and not speaking quick? Oh, it's part of the context. You know, our next point carries forward the internal attitude of our mind speech. Verse 19, again. But everyone must be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger. Anger? What kind of anger are you talking about here? Anger like I'm mad at somebody? No. This is a very unique form of anger. It's not a boiling in that comes out. As James is driving through the error of not listening to learn and grow and being quick to speak, he hits on an internal issue that cannot be seen. And I think you'll understand it. James is talking about the Word of God here. How does anger fit with the Word of God? It's a very unique work that he does. Anger here, literally, is the word that means resentment. It's resentment or a rejection of the Word. So if the pastor is bringing up the text of Scripture and it hits or it points into sin or brings light into some sin, what's something that could happen on the inside? You have a resentment against that poke on your sin, or you just reject it and move on. You know, the Word calls you to repent and turn to the truth. This anger is one that will reject the truth and not apply it to your life. It's the turn away. James chapter 3 concerning the tongue is a hard section. We're going to head to it. As you see the destructive truth about your tongue. I can approach chapter 3 with an open heart to learn the truth and apply it. Or I can be resentful of the truth and reject it and not apply it. Or I can say, well, that doesn't apply to me. Have you seen anger in yourself? Or have you seen anger inside of you when the Word of truth shines the light on your sin and instead of repenting, you reject? See, that's the anger that he's talking about. It's amazing how that works. Listen, shut the mouth. What's the third one? You got to say repent. Because the truth points into the dark side of our life that needs repentance, that needs the light to shine clearly. Anger inside will always halt your growth. See how he flows? Notice the next section. James now moves to show us that this type of anger stops growth. Verses 19 and 20, let's put it together. But everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. You stop growing because there's no forward motion. Now, see, James started by saying that the trials are there to help us grow. Remember, back in early part of chapter 1? The Word is the key issue, for we must listen to it and not speak so we can be taught how to be kingdom citizens. Rejecting the Word, we will not achieve righteousness of God. To achieve the righteousness of God, we must take in the Word of truth deeply so it will transform us to be more like Christ. See how detailed this is, that he's trying to get us to grow and to mature? Now let me ask you this. Did you come today ready to hear the Word of God and ready to leave taking the Word deep into your life throughout the week? Is that your goal? Is that how you set yourself? It takes work. It takes planning to actually go through this. So many times, I mean, how many times I'll put myself into this. Do I come, do church, go out, nothing? because I wasn't listening. I went through the motions. I looked like a good little Christian in the pew, you might say. But was I listening to grow? Was I open for the heart to be changed? Now, we're going to continue with James as he provides for us more details on what we are to do as the word penetrates deep into our lives. Now, he's going to show us what occurs in our life when we do not listen intently. He'll show how fraudulent we are and how that fake facade can be so well built up that no one can even, probably not even yourself. But let me ask you this solid question. So today and every day, will you be a better listener? That's the key. You've got an opportunity in just a few minutes when the teaching of the word again is presented. Will you be a good listener? It's going to take practice. It's going to take, you might bomb it a little bit today. And if you find yourself distracting, what do? You try to focus back in. I mean, it's continual. That's what James is saying, that listening is a process that is a continual process. Don't get distracted. Lunch is going to be there wherever, okay? Don't have to get out of here right when the amen. How many people have got their watches set for 12 o'clock to go off to kind of insinuate that you need to be done so I can get the lunch? Don't raise your hand. But have you ever heard some watches go off at 12? Why? I remember one time MacArthur was going on. It was PM. It was one of the night services. He was going on. He was deep. He was just teaching us. It was amazing. My notes were just going on and on and on. And all of a sudden, he just stopped. He goes, oh, look at the time. We're just a little bit past time. We'll continue it next Sunday. And I'm going, and back of my brain immediately hits going, we got no place to be. We're fine. Just keep going. Finish whatever you got to. What's the rush? What, did the place got to close up at a certain time? No. I mean, that's the kind of temperament we all need to have, and that's the kind of temperament I want to have. I don't want someone to sit there and say, oh, I'm out of time. I'm under the teaching of the Word of God. I want to sit at Jesus' feet as long as I can. Right? Let's work at listening. Let's pray. Father, I know we're going to need your help to keep us focused on the Word, focused on what we're being taught, focused on the explanation, the exposition of the Word. But again, we need to be expositional listeners. We need to know how to listen, to take in the Word at its fullest, to understand it correctly, to be able to apply it correctly to our lives and to grow. We need your help to do that. It's hard. The life we live in is extremely hyper and distracting. But Sunday should not be a time that we're distracted. Sunday should be a time that you would help us to be single-minded and focused on your word. Because that's what grows us. God, help us to be men and women who work hard at listening and applying the truth of scriptures to our life. We have an opportunity again this morning to be under the teaching of your word. Help us to listen well and to grow. God, we love you. We know that we are so, in my mind, frustrating, but to you, we're not frustrating. You are our Father. We're your children, and guide us and direct us in the right way that we should learn and grow to be better men and women for you, to grow and to be the godly examples to the world. God, hold us tight, hold us close, and keep us growing. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.